Now, back to The Drive with Steve Jackson, live and local on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and 94.5 in Petaluma.
My turn?
Okay. It's Theater Thursday, back live in the studio here on KSRO. Harry Duke, our theater guy, is here. And Duke Laura Downing Lee.
Try that again.
Wait a minute. Oh, with Duke.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that. His sister here.
Wow.
She's also named Duke.
Wow.
No, it's Laura Downing Lee. Of course I know that. Riley Craig, they're from SRJC. They're streaming a theater production of Murder on the Orient Express. And we welcome you guys back.
Thank you.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Murder on the Orient Express. Isn't that a tough play to do?
It's a new play, number one. It's only about 3 years old because it is
really?
Such a tough play to do. They've made several movies,
yeah.
One good one and one terrible one.
What was the good one? Who was
the good one was the 1974 with Albert Finney as Hercule Poirot.
Yeah, 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 okay.
The
yeah.
terrible one was Kenneth Branagh with a push broom under his nose.
I vaguely remember that. I didn't see
it. Oh, I was so ticked off by that movie. But Ken Ludwig, a pretty well-known playwright, if you've heard of Lend Me a Tenor or Moon Over Buffalo, was asked by the Agatha Christie estate to adapt Murder on the Orient Express for the stage. And he did that in about 2017, I want to say. And Santa Rosa Junior College decided, well, let's do an easy show since we're having to do this all streaming-wise. And they picked Murder on the Orient Express. So joining us to talk about it is, as Steve said, director Laura Downing Lee and performers Riley Craig and on the phone, Claire Grodian. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Claire.
Hi.
So, Laura, let's start with you.
So who
Seriously.
Did it? The butler?
Why don't we just end the interview right there and just give it away, Steve?
I'm an a-hole. What can I say?
Why did you pick Murder on the Orient Express?
Oh, that's a good question, because we actually looked at it when we'd just gotten back into Burbank. We were looking for this year's season and had looked at it and realized it was not going to work in a three-quarter thrust, our beautiful new studio theater, and because it's complicated. And a train is linear. It's cars connected together. But when we realized we were going to be online, I thought about the Zoom experience, which is a bunch of boxes connected together, and thought, whoa, a train. Let's take another look at it. And came up with the idea of doing it as a 1934 radio play.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. And we have Foley artists that making the sound effects. We have incorporated some non-traditional radio play things. But when radio plays were done back in the 30s, they had a live studio audience. So we wanted to capitalize on that liveness, but also the separation of audience, the listening audience, or in this case, a listening watching audience, and the performers. So we're live, but we're separated at the same time. And it seemed like a nice kind of connective, metaphorical kind of cool thing.
So for folks who don't know the story, why don't Riley give us some of the plot? You're playing Hercule Poirot,
right.
a Belgian detective. Let's make that clear. He's
Hercule
Poirot. Hercule Poirot, yes, yes. Give us a plot rundown quickly for our folks.
Well, essentially, Poirot has just finished a case in Syria and sort of the Middle East. He's been traveling. There are books, Death on the Nile, stuff like that. And then he is in Istanbul, and he gets a call to go back to London, and so he has to get on this train, the Orient Express. And when he gets there, he starts noticing all these things. All these people are on the train, and they're very interesting people. You know, they say that, you know, all these characters, they should be in a novel. And then more stuff starts happening, and then all of a sudden, there's a dead body on the train, and it was Mr. Ratchet. And then he ends up finding out that Mr. Ratchet is not who he said he was, and some other people are not who they say they were, and yeah, it's a very...
Somebody did it.
Somebody did it.
Don't look at me.
So, Claire, you're playing who in the show?
I'm playing Miss Mary Debenham.
Miss Debenham. And yes. You're in kind of unique circumstances. First of all, let me go back to Laura just a second. Your cast is kind of spread out, right?
They are. We have people spread out. We've got one cast member in Sonoma. We've got cast members in Petaluma, Sebastopol, Windsor. It's an array.
It's very cool.
And Claire, your situation is what as far as participating in this production?
My situation is that I, of course, we're doing everything online, and I am fortunate enough to be in a social bubble with my boyfriend, who is also cast in the show. And so we perform and are able to interact with each other up in Windsor.
So is everybody doing this from their homes?
Yep, everybody. The stage manager, every single person.
What kind of staging,
background set.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, our wonderful technical director and our new technical faculty member, Justin Smith, created PVC frames, and we have curtains that are hung, and they were delivered all over Sonoma County, right in the middle of the fire evacuation period, which obviously was stressful for everyone, but they got those all delivered. So they do have a complimentary background for all of them, and also they have period-looking microphones that were created by our student prop designer, and Luca researched those, and they look very cool. So that's really their set. And then everything else is created through the storytelling that the actors do, their interaction with one another, as well as very cool hand-created animation by our student costume and animation image designer. Amber McLean is a student studying costuming, but she had a large background in animation. And so she has created these transitional images as well as a few very special plot moments that are moving pictures that tell the story through a little bit of what we think of as animation, and they're gorgeous. It's really quite cool, and it's a real treat, I think, that the audience will be surprised at.
Now, how do you pronounce it? Hercule?
Hercule. Hercule.
Yeah, sure. That's not how I pronounce it. Well, this guy was created by Agatha Christie, and he starred in 33 of her novels.
Yes.
Right. And a couple plays, too.
He's the only fictional character to receive an obituary in the New York Times when she decided to bump him off.
Really?
In 1975. Started in, I think, like 1916, very early. Like, her first novel featured Poirot.
Well, she actually produced that, or it was published, rather, in 1920, and this is the 100th anniversary this year of Agatha Christie's publication.
Didn't he have a TV show too?
Yes, the BBC. David Suchet played him. Okay. A very well-received television series. My mother was a major Agatha Christie fan, and I remember when the book where she knocked off Hercule Poirot came out, and I bought it and I read the last chapter. That's the only part I wanted to read, was to figure out how he got knocked off. But whenever I hear of Agatha Christie, I think of my mother. Riley, tell me about acting for streaming. You're a very physical actor. I've seen you in other JC productions. How are you finding it adapting to having to limit yourself to a box?
Well, I mean, for one thing, it's not hard to act alone in your room. I think all actors have to do that at some point, and acting to your computer is not as threatening as acting to an entire auditorium of people. However, when you're just standing in this little box and you don't have your whole body to move around the stage and interact with the people and the set and the props, for me at least, it's very hard to memorize the lines. Because I learn my lines when I get the blocking. You know, you do things and you say things and it all goes together and it just sort of sinks in. But this time around, it's sort of the first time that I've really struggled to get the lines down. Not that Ken Ludwig helps at all. but yeah, so it just takes a different kind of, determination and a different kind of learning and to get it done.
Claire, you're at some of an advantage in that you have a scene partner with you, correct?
Yes, I do.
How has that been working together, kind of isolated, kind of solitary?
In times it's helpful, and in times it gets a little bit tricky because in scenes when we're together, we have to use one microphone between the two laptops, and you know, you want to make eye contact with that person, but we're set up in a way where we have to look directly at our laptops, even though we're standing next to each other. So that can be a bit tricky, but it's also beneficial to, you know, recreate the feeling of being with people in a scene, to kind of harken back to the old times. as we call them, when we could be around people.
The good old days.
Even if it's just a little bit, yeah.
I don't remember that.
No.
Steve doesn't like being around people. He's so glad the barriers are in the studio now. He wished they were here a decade ago.
Riley, you got the mustache, dude. That looks cool.
Oh, yeah.
He's looking mustache. At the picture on the website.
I am, yeah.
We're talking about Murder on the Orient Express, which is the Santa Rosa Junior College streaming theater production that opens tomorrow night. It runs only for 2 weekends and only for 2 performances each weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 in the evening. Friday and Saturday at 7:30 in the evening. This weekend, the 16th and 17th. Next weekend, the 23rd and 24th. You need to go onto the JC website and log in, and all the ticketing information, how to do it, is there. You basically have to submit your name, your email address. They'll send you a link. You're going to be watching this via YouTube, via a private YouTube channel.
So you guys are Zooming, but the people watching don't have to.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yes. I like that. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the Zoom. I've never tried it, but I don't plan to.
We have two tickets, for lack of a better word, to give out to the first two callers at 707-636-1350 that have not won theater tickets in the last decade. If you have not won theater tickets in the last decade, you are welcome to call in. We need your name, your email address, and your phone number, and the JC will be in touch with you to get you your link information. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Riley. Thank you, Claire.
All right,
thank
guys.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. We'll be back on KSRO.